This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, last night we had our first preseason game, and it was a great game. The Panthers and the Cardinals. Carolina wins at the buzzer, basically. Haynes King runs it in. The Panthers win 33-30. That's fun. How can you not like preseason football, Tanner? Also coming up, we'll have Brian Howell joining us. Talk some Colorado Buffaloes. They spent a lot of time with the Air Force football team yesterday. And Brian's going to give us the inside scoop on all of that, what that was like. Also, top stories of the day. This Kawhi Leonard thing is crazy. But it's happening, and that's what's happening in college. Benjamin Albright, he is our Broncos insider, host of Broncos Country tonight. Give us the latest on the Broncos, injuries, anything like that, updates from Training Camp 2026. Also, we'll take a deep dive into the Los Angeles Chargers as we continue our AFC West journey. The whole show starts right now. Catch with yourself over there?
I'm rehabbing my legs.
But you're playing catch. Oh, you're doing it with one leg. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's impressive.
Yeah, I've been taking some physical therapy to make my legs actually work.
Good. Well, I hope that works out for you, man.
I hope it works out for me too. I want the knee pain to go away.
I would be happy if that would, so you could get back to training camp. The Carolina Panthers win last night at the buzzer against the Arizona Cardinals in this preseason game. I got to tell you, just hearing Tirico and Chris Collinsworth, and Collinsworth gets bad rap, man. I don't dislike the guy. He's become a caricature in the NFL, and it's funny, kind of, but he knows his stuff. He's got a good voice. He's entertaining. I don't know why all the hate for Chris Collinsworth exists, really. I don't have that. I just don't have that for a lot of broadcasters, and I think Collinsworth is good.
Well, some of these broadcasters are they fall a little bit too in love with one person. Like
Collinsworth's
John Madden
a big
always
Tom Brady, Mahomes guy. And
Madden always loved Brett Favre.
Yeah, but that's how
Chris
it goes.
Chris Collinsworth is in love with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's fine. I just don't have an issue with it. Be better if you want him to salivate over your quarterback.
Yeah,
you know,
but
be
do
better.
It while you're in. Like, he can salivate all he wants while it's a Chiefs game, but don't bring him up.
I just don't have a problem
two different
with
teams.
It. I don't have a problem with him. I really don't. And last night, turning the TV on and hearing those voices, Mike Tomlin was jumping around the broadcast crew. It was weird, I will say, seeing Mike Tomlin, because I have an image of Mike Tomlin. Hard-nosed football coach. No nonsense.
Great actor.
Seeing him.
He looks like Omar Epps.
Seeing him kind of in his, you know, fun broadcasty element, what I'll admit was weird for, and I'm a huge diehard Mike Tomlin fan. But it is kind of weird to see him in a setting where he's not like intense. So, but overall, broadcast was good. They caught up with a lot of the this year's class of Hall of Famers. Listening to the Larry Fitzgerald interview. Larry's in a class by himself, obviously talented, but just a good freaking dude. Drew Brees was on the broadcast for a little bit. Chris Collinsworth called Sean Payton crazy. Probably some truth to that. But it was fun, man. And it ended like this. Haynes King with the walk-off for the Panthers in the Hall of Fame game.
Game on the line. King, he's going to step up. Pumps, runs, goal line. Is he in? Yes! Carolina wins! Haynes King!
It was just seeing that kind of stuff, and then like Bryce Young on the sidelines, the roster, the guys on the bench going crazy. This is why the preseason games are kind of fun. There's nothing on the line. Nobody cares about the final score until you get to the end of a game and it's still tight. Then suddenly everyone leans in like, I hope the Cardinals will make a stop here. I hope the Panthers can punch it in here. And seeing Haynes King kind of roll around and then get into the end zone, it was awesome. It's football. I don't care if it doesn't mean anything, and I don't care if I didn't sit, you know, closely and examine this entire game. It's still football on the television. And in early August, we take that. It's amazing. My wife looked at me. She's like, wow, it is crazy that football is already back. Summer flew by. The older you get, Mike, the summers, the years, everything just flies by. But you know what? I'm ready for it. Ready for football season to begin.
The summer could have flown by faster. Very hot out there. But it's nice to see starters, actual starters, watching
person.
A preseason game. Because normally, like, they'll take a video in between of all the guys, and they'll interview them, or you'll see two guys just like yucking it up on the sidelines, just wearing their jersey but no pads. It's nice to see like every player invested in a game.
Yeah, it's cool. And you're the only person, by the way, that says the summer's not flown by. I think you need more things to do because everybody's saying the same thing. Wow, back to school already. Football season is here. It flew by. Hot.
I'm not
but
saying it didn't
by.
Flow by. I was saying it could have flown by faster. I would have liked it to have flown by faster. Very hot out there.
Seemed pretty fast to me. Faith texting in, I tuned in at the start of the game because I wanted to see Jeremiah Love, if he was going to get a few reps, which he didn't. But then I found myself keeping the game on because it was actually a good game, which usually in preseason you don't really get. But this game actually kind of went against those odds. I thought the end of the game was cool because the guy fumbled the ball earlier in the game was the guy who ended up winning the game for them. Again, when I'm watching preseason games, all I do is every play, if it's a good play, you think, oh, that guy just increased his chances of making the team. Every bad play, if there's a fumble, well, that guy's probably in trouble. Carson Beck, third-round pick, he looked good. I thought he looked good. 15 of 19, 188 yards, and one touchdown for him. He was sacked once, but he had a 125.4 QB rating. You want to pay attention to ratings when we start up the quarterback toilet bowl, Michael. Also seeing Mike LeFleur. We have another LeFleur as a head coach. Head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. I thought it was funny, too. I think at halftime, they were talking to him. And he's like, yeah, I didn't know exactly where I'm supposed to stand. And I think, you know, again, being a rookie head coach, we all just assume as soon as they become head coach, they know everything. You know, the pressure is on. We don't have a lot of patience for head coaches, but we need to probably remember that these guys are learning, too, even where to stand. And they're trying to now manage a game when they were coordinating. They're now managing everything. And, you know, I just thought that was kind of interesting hearing him say that. Big Hub, definitely a good game. Hasn't been like that for a while. Yeah, hopefully the rest of the preseason is like that. Because it was overall really, really good. We had a hole in the game, Michael. Evan Hull. You don't see many Hulls, H-U-L-L. You just don't see them. It's not a very common last name. But
I'm sure he was a
whole
lot
of jersey. You had a Northwestern. Drafted in the fifth round by the Arizona Cardinals. So I saw that on the back of a jersey. I'm like, that's cool. You don't see a lot of that. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Man, we got a lot to get into today. We're going to talk a little Buffs with Brian Howell. They visited with Air Force. Big Hub was texting me yesterday. He's like, are they scrimmaging or anything? To my knowledge, no. But they're just kind of touring everything. And Coach Prime is seeing how Air Force does it. And I don't know. It's just interesting. The Buffs are trying to do outside-the-box things. And this year, Going to Fountain, practicing in Colorado Springs, being a part of that. And I think we'll see how it works out, but I will give this to Coach Prime. They're trying something different, trying something new to try to see if they can get a sense of brotherhood and camaraderie and all that. I did see a lot of fights breaking out, though. for the Buffs. And I listen, Broncos get into them too. Evan Engram and Jaquan McMillan were getting into it on Wednesday. It happens. It's part of training camp. But when you see it happen and there's a few of them that are breaking out with the Buffs, you just kind of wonder. So I'll ask Brian, like, if that's anything to kind of worry about, any position battles he's interested in at this point. So we'll get into that too. Benjamin Albright's going to join us. He's the host of Broncos Country Tonight. It does seem like the Broncos, no major injuries right now, but just little nicks at this stage. And, you know, Jaylen Waddle, there's, I guess, some concern about him. He was limping around the last 2 days. Cortland Sutton hasn't really been practicing. However, I did see that Cortland Sutton was participating in their 7-on-7, so he's a go. So I don't know if that's a concern anymore. And Sean Payton just left practice. He's headed to Canton for the Drew Brees Hall of Fame induction and gold jacket ceremony. So Sean will be gone from the team for the rest of the weekend, I suppose. He'll be back Sunday. He's going to miss tomorrow's practice. Saw Matt Henningsen report there. He left the field on a cart. So it's like I said yesterday, Mike. It's all about you have to get guys going. You have to get them getting real football reps and getting used to what the grind is going to be like. But you're also just holding your breath every time you see somebody get hit and, hoping you can survive injuries. So we'll see where we go.
It feel like these injuries happen more during the practices than they do during the games?
Seems like it.
The last 10 years, I worry less about the games themselves than I do about practice. Because it just feels that way.
It always seems like training camp. It seems like training camp, we just hear more, not just local news, but national news on guys getting hurt. I don't know if that's because they haven't been used to, the intensity that comes with practicing, full-on practice. I couldn't answer that. It's hard to prevent a lot of those injuries. And this is true with any sport. You just hope that they're going to be okay by the time you get to the regular season and you don't have any major injuries. And so far, it just seems like there's a few nicks. They're holding guys out, not pushing them that hard. No, Jaylen Waddle, tightness going on in his calf, and I think he's had some of that stuff in his past with Miami. So, it's a risk you take, knowing he hasn't had any major injuries, but he's definitely had some. But most of these guys do. I saw something online too. It said, they're holding out guys, they're not practicing certain guys. Why wouldn't they do that with Bo Nix? You can't do it with your quarterback. They don't get hit anyway. So yeah, but the ankle, he's moving around a lot. But you got to remember, everything goes through the quarterback. So yeah, it might make sense to pull back a Bo Nix and say, hey, we're gonna take it easy, let you rest the ankle for a day or so. But everything they're trying to run goes through Bo Nix. And so, he's relaying information to his offensive line, to his skill players. You're not just losing the physical presence of Bo Nix, but you're losing the mental presence too. So it's all about clicking and getting the right terminology down, any tweaks that they've made. There's just no way you're going to do that. You're just going to have to hope that the surgically repaired ankle is good to go by the time we get there, by the time we get to that regular season. So Benjamin Albright will give us more updates there. This Kawhi Leonard story is absolutely fascinating. It's very similar to what's going on in the college sports world with NIL on top of the salary cap. But Kawhi had a sponsorship deal with a now bankrupt green banking company at the center of an NBA investigation that's been ongoing. He also had an undisclosed sponsorship agreement allegedly worth millions of dollars with the company that designed the Clippers video board inside the Intuit Dome. And Pablo Torre, if you've seen his stuff, he has a podcast called Pablo Torre Finds Out. And he is an investigative reporter. Like, he digs deeper than probably most of your major networks. So Torre interviewed someone that was identified as an anonymous high-level source under contract for Intuit Dome, who alleged that the sponsorship deal was 1,000% a way to circumvent the salary cap. It was funneling money from the Clippers through Daktronics back to Kawhi. And I want to get into the story in more details later, but this is probably happening. I've wondered for years why this doesn't happen. Probably because it's extremely against the rules. But you could skirt it. College does it every day. Basically, saying, hey, here's what we can pay you because our salary cap will only allow us to pay you so much. Well, player wants more. So you say, all right, player, here's a number. Call this place. Go get set up with them, and they'll cover what you're wanting. Now, if it happens, it's a fine line, because if it happens organically and you sign with the Clippers and then you start going out and making endorsement deals on your own, same as college, it's supposed to be, assuming it's all in the up and up, it's supposed to be legal. But if an owner or an athletic director or a coach is saying to said player, we can't get you to $5 million, we can get you to $3 million, but we got somebody else that can get you that extra $2 million, that theoretically is against the rules. 21 minutes after the hour, Ross Dellinger has some new updates too on an amendment for the Protect College Sports Act. This is fascinating. I want to get to that a little bit later on too, but the amendment was obtained by Yahoo Sports. Basically says, if a Power League school wants to move to another power conference, the school can avoid the 5-year probationary period if it withdraws from its league within 180 days of the bill's enactment. So if there's a team wanting to leave their conference, they're basically saying, once this is approved, now would be the time to withdraw and announce your intentions. Because if you don't within the 180 days, you would have a 5-year probationary period. If you're in a power conference and you want to go to another power conference.
So the group conference,
I don't
fine.
Think any issue with them transferring. I don't think there's any issue with G5, G6, whatever, G5.5 of those schools transferring within that playing field or going up. I don't think they're going to punt. I don't know yet. It seems to me it would go both ways. Like G5 school players can't, or teams can't jump to other competing conferences without the same kind of rule. But obviously this, most of the Protect College Sports Act is applying to the Power Four conferences, trying to establish ground rules to keep the madness from really going on, even though it's happening at all levels. 23 minutes after the hour. Speaking of all levels, we're going to get into all levels of the Colorado Buffaloes with our guy Brian Howell coming up on the show. Brian, of course, does a great job. Publisher of BuffBlitz.com and author of many books. He now covers the Colorado Buffaloes football and basketball side of things with On Three. So we'll catch up with Brian here at the bottom of the hour. Keep it here on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Volleyball and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling. We'll keep you cool. We still have a lot of hot days, a few hot days, really, really hot days. This weekend's going to be lousy, I think. But if your AC's not spitting out that cool air like you need it to, and just maybe sounds a little bit off, you need to check out Lemons Heating and Cooling. Free estimates are available if you go to their website, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. I'm a customer of theirs. both for the AC and the heater, and we haven't had an issue since. So thanks to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Again, call them 970-567-0798 or visit them online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. This story I want to get to with Brian a little bit later, but Coach Prime suggesting, you know, we got the spring games. You know, we have spring scrimmages or whatever where it's, you know, it's just buffs on buffs, Rams on Rams. They do that in the spring. Coach Prime suggesting, after spending some time with Air Force, and I think he's been talking about this a while because I believe he mentioned something about doing this with CSU, but he's hoping that the NCAA will allow the Buffaloes to face a different team in their spring game. Sanders said Thursday that he wants to play a spring game against Air Force. Said it's, you know, obviously it's just, what, 2 hours away from Boulder. He said, that's something I've been suggesting for quite some time, and the NCAA felt compelled to allow FCS schools do what we thought of quite some time ago. So we're not involved. They won't allow that. But even if we could just practice at the same location, would do it justice. We don't have to compete against one another. But I wish one day we could have a spring game against one another. It would be wonderful for the state. It would be wonderful for the cities if we do home and away. It would be a great look, I think, for college football and Colorado football. I would love that. I can't really disagree because, you know, me talking regional stuff around here, anytime these teams get together, it's good, whether it's the regular season or not. And if we can't guarantee regular season matchups with CU and Air Force or Wyoming, and because I kind of include Wyoming into this mix, then at least maybe the spring game would be interesting. Obviously, if they've got to move the spring game. So you move it to fall game, kind of like now. So you're in practice. Most teams, most programs around here started practice. I think UNC's been in for 2 weeks now. CSU started earlier this week, and CU started earlier this week. I think Wyoming started midweek. You go a week or so and then consider some kind of fall-type scrimmage. But that's the thing. Go Pokes even said, like, nobody's going to give free looks. I suppose it's the same as the NFL, though, in the preseason. They play each other. But I was joking because Brian was like, hey, dude, I'm Brian Gary. Good morning, Noco. I'm gonna hammer the under for the preseason game. I always look at that and say, I don't know. I think defenses really shy away from showing any kind of their elaborate blitz packages or coverage sequences. So the chances of more points being scored, I don't know what the history shows, but I would always kind of go the opposite way of that. Go Pokes had heard the transfer portal thing makes practicing versus a four team a very undesirable thing. Nobody's giving free looks. Yeah, but you could do, I mean, like Air Force doesn't care. They do literally the same thing every single year. And people know, as long as Troy Calhoun's there, that's what they're going to do. 30 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break here. Brian Howell going to join us from On3. Let's talk all things Colorado Buffaloes with Brian. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Talking a little Colorado Buffaloes football on this Friday morning with Brian Howell, publisher of BuffBlitz.com, covering the University of Colorado football, basketball, and recruiting for On3. Brian, you've had a little, you know, a trip. You've been in Fountain Fort Carson following the Buffs along as they're practicing over in Colorado Springs. Also, you noted, hey, they were hanging out with Troy Calhoun and those Air Force Falcons the last day or so.
Yeah, it was a little farther than Boulder to go cover the first few days of camp, and it was fun. Was able to stay down in the Springs a couple of days, and it was kind of interesting to have them visit Air Force. That you know, a team that, you know, safety Ben Finneseth talked to us yesterday. He actually played against Air Force in 2022. So kind of interesting that they go and hang out and visit those guys. So, but really cool. I think that's a kind of a cool thing for the state. And, you know, we'd love to see those teams do a spring game together or joint practices or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw Coach Prime's thoughts on that. I absolutely, you know me, Brian, like I love the idea of these teams within in the state or even the region, if you want to include like Wyoming. I love the idea, football, basketball, whatever, when they play each other, and if the best we can get on a consistent basis would be something like a spring game, that would be interesting. It's funny though, because following the Mount West, so many teams, they hate playing. It seems like they hate playing Air Force, and they always have to put a little extra prep into that. But Coach Prime's like, sign it up, man. Let's try to slow down that triple option.
But that'd be the nice thing about it. If you do a spring game, is you don't need to do the prep for it, really. It's just kind of, you can do a little bit, but it's not like you're treating it like a game.
Right.
I think it'd be fun. I mean, he talked about, you know, potentially a home and home. I mean, how cool would it be to go down to Falcon Stadium and watch a spring game, the Buffs and Falcons one year? And this is maybe, I just thought it as I'm talking here, but if they could do something, maybe get CSU, Wyoming, and the four of them do like a sort of a football, I don't know, festival that day or something like
that. Awesome.
You know,
yeah,
and you know, do where it's just very basic, and maybe one series is CSU's offense versus CU's defense, or Wyoming's offense versus Air Force defense, things like that. So there's things you can do that would make it, I think, really fun. I don't like the idea of like when they originally brought up of like Syracuse, you know. You don't need to do across the country, but something locally would be awesome.
Well, and on that note too, Brian, do you see changes like with the spring game? Because we've heard, you know, I've always thought the spring session, not just the games that they do, their scrimmages that they do, the timing is just so odd. The NFL, obviously, they do their build up. You got OTAs leading into training camp, leading into the preseason, leading into the regular season. And there's been talk about this. Do you think that potentially we could see the spring sequence, the week or so that they practice, and that scrimmage or whatever it is, just move closer to August?
I think so. And they're kind of toying with some things or trying some things out at the FCS level where they're allowing, I think starting next year, where they're going to allow FCS teams to have some joint practices. And so I think it's trending towards that way. I would love to see it. I mean, a lot of schools, big name schools, are just doing away with the spring game. But to make it more fan friendly and maybe even a moneymaker, or you charge it, you know, $10 or $20, I think that's a great idea to do it.
I think it'd be awesome. Nope, sign me up. I think it's a great idea. Agree 100%. Brian, one of the reasons we love bringing great insiders on, such as yourself, you get a chance to call out stuff we see online that maybe goes viral. We're getting texters already chiming into it saying the Buffs are getting roasted for being too small, their wide receivers being too small. I know you referenced that in one of your recent videos recapping one of the practices. Brian, talk to us, man. Why are we freaking out about the Buffs' roster size as far as actual size of person?
I don't know. you know, it seems to be something that comes up every year that, you know, there's so much video put out by, you know, Coach Prime's team, his son and others, that, you know, people get to see a lot. And so it seems like every year there's this narrative that they look like a peewee team. Well, I guarantee you they would crush any peewee team, because there's no peewee team with 380-pound defensive linemen. So, yes, a couple of their slot receivers are small. Yeah, maybe some corners are a little under 6 feet, but they're not a small football team. And they got some big dudes on the offensive line, really big guys on the defensive line. They got some tall receivers, and Juju's a little small. You know, he's 6'1". He's listed at 6'1". I don't know if he's that tall, but, you know, he's listed at 6'1". So a little on the small side, but they're fine. Size is not going to hold them back from the Big 12. There might be a talent deficiency in areas, but it won't be size.
This is why we want to have you on here, because I don't know where it comes from. It does seem like Coach Prime, it's either he's untouchable or everything he does is wrong. There's really no in between when it comes to anything involved with Coach Prime. You mentioned one of the guys we're looking out for, and you highlighted this guy, Danny Scudero. Is he a little hobbled at this point? Any significant injury information at this stage when it comes to the Buffs?
Well, they haven't said what's going on with him. one of the coaches posted something last weekend about the receivers getting together for a dinner at the coach's house. And people could see Danny Scudero on crutches. And so people started freaking out, like, what's going on? And then, as they reported for camp, again on, Deion Sanders Jr. YouTube, you could see Danny Scudero on one of those scooters. And we were down there. We got to watch 10 minutes yesterday. He's in a walking boot, but he's walking around just fine. So, and Coach Prime said that he's pretty positive that Danny's going to play in that opener against Georgia Tech. So I don't know what the deal is. Something with a foot. I don't know if it's a high ankle sprain or whatever, but taking it easy right now. But he should be good to go.
I mean, he's one of these guys that you kind of, when we asked you a couple weeks ago, highlight a few guys that you think are going to be big-time difference maker. Obviously, his numbers with San Jose State, the things he did there last year were just phenomenal. And you think that he assuming he's healthy, that he'll have no problem making that transition into the Big 12?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's going to be great. I mean, over on my new site at On3, me and a few of the other guys, we did a ranking of our top 20 buffs, and Danny came out number one on the list. And so I didn't have him that high, but we all had him top five. So I think he's going to be really good. And, Coach Prime has compared him to Julian Edelman, who we know is fantastic with the Patriots. I just think he's going to get the ball a lot, and that he's a very talented young man. Doesn't matter that he came from San Jose State. He was tearing it up at Sacramento State the year before that. He hasn't been at this level, but I think he'll be just fine.
Brian Howell joining us, talking all things Colorado Buffaloes. On the quarterback side of things, Brian, our mutual friend of ours, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, we were talking about Julian Lewis. He kind of sidestepped me and said, watch out now for Isaac Wilson and what he's able to do. He didn't necessarily say there was like any kind of quarterback controversy or anything, but the way he was talking made me think, okay, is this guaranteed Julian Lewis's football team or Julian Lewis's offense, or should we be looking out for the brother of Zach Wilson a bit closer?
I think you need to watch out for him. There are people in the building that told me that they believe Isaac had a better spring than Juju. So it's not a foregone conclusion that Juju would be the guy. But I've also heard that Juju had the better summer. I think they're going to go with Juju to start things out. And I look for, because we can't watch practices, I look for little tells on the videos we're able to see. And, Coach Prime, at the end of every practice, he has a certain player break down the team, right? Do the, family on me, family on three type thing, right? And he always picks out a player, and that's pretty good indication of that player's had a good day or is doing pretty well. Well, the other day he did it, and he said, break it down on your quarterback. And Julian Lewis came to the middle of the team and broke down the practice. So to me, I'm reading too much into that phrase. It was on your quarterback. I think it's going to be Julian Lewis, but I think that there could be a bit of a short leash if things don't go well. I think that Julian's got to kind of hold on to that job, if that makes sense. And, he can't come out and start throwing a bunch of picks at Georgia Tech and hang on to that job. I think Isaac's going to be breathing down his neck a little bit.
Yeah, well, and again, that's what you have to do sometimes when you're not getting like the direct quote or whatever. You kind of have to read between those lines. And like you said, sounds like Julian Lewis at this point. Any other key position battles that you're looking out for, that you're catching wind of, that are of interest for Buffs fans?
Well, I think this is cliche, but offensive line, until they get that solidified, that's always going to be the case with the Buffs. And they brought in so many transfers. They and raving about this offensive line, how good they are, but I don't know who's going to wind up being the guys who are going to be the five. They brought in a ton of transfers there, like eight FBS transfers, I think. So that's going to be a good competition. Defensive line as well. I think there's going to be a lot of competition in the secondary and also running back. I mean, there's a really talented group of running backs, but I don't know who's going to be the lead dogs there. Damian Henderson, who was at CSU a couple years ago, is in the mix there, and I think might be one of their best running backs. And DeKalen Taylor was a really small kind of scat back type. This offense is going to lend itself to some big guys and the small guys on the field at the same time. So that competition is going to be really good as well.
Brian Howell, always great stuff from you, man. Biggest takeaway you got from, you know, the idea that the Buffs are kind of intermingling with Air Force, Coach Prime, Coach Troy Calhoun, you know, anything else that kind of stood out to you from this whole idea, you know, thinking outside the box, trying something new to just bring this Buffs team together? What else kind of stood out?
Really just that. I mean, they're doing something different to kind of bond this team together. And I think that in this era, the portal era, you need to try to do things like that. And last year, that was one of the biggest things that hurt this team, was that, you know, things started to go south and they splintered. There wasn't a whole lot of leadership. They have really, really worked on that this year. And when you get away for a week, no distractions, and, you know, you're putting your phones away and things like that, I think you can really come together as a team. And so I think that's been a big deal for them. And the players, several of the players we talked to this week were like, I was a little skeptical when we first did it. I didn't like it. The food's kind of not as good down here, but we've had a ton of fun, you know, and they just have raved about how much fun they've had together as a team. And I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out as we're getting closer and closer to that game one for the Colorado Buffaloes. Brian, my man, always appreciate it. Hey, where can folks find your stuff, what you're up to now when it comes to all things Colorado Buffaloes?
Yeah, I go to the new site, buffblitz.com. That's on the On3 network. If you go to on3.com and look for team sites, you can find Buff Blitz that way as well. But then, as always, on Twitter, at Brian Howell 33, or X, whatever they call it.
Great job, as always, man. And we'll look forward to catching up with you this time next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
All right, man. Brian Howell, talking some Buffs with us. Yeah, they've been spending time with Air Force, and interesting. Like Brian said, just doing, you know, thinking outside the box a bit. 11:48 the time. We'll take a quick break here. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day. Benjamin Albright will be joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. The latest on all things Denver Broncos. Clip of the day. Chargers deep dive in the AFC West. All that and more coming up. Keep it here on the whole show. Powered by Mosquito Joe and Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps football broadcast will sound a little different this season. Hear Jerry Schammel, Bruce Dick, and the studio man Kyle Johnson every Friday night this football season. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
That is an interesting concept, though. Coach Prime talking about the spring game. Brian even saying, hey, can you get something where you get all four involved? And they're doing something where different sequences, maybe not a full-on game. That'd be a lot to coordinate, and I'm not sure. But making it some kind of football festival, I don't know, man. It's 2026. We're doing so many crazy things in sports to try to make it different and make it more accessible to fans, and they can all get involved and cross promotion and all that. I do basketball, certainly, Mike. Sign me up for some kind of regional preseason tournament between Wyoming, CSU, and basketball. I'd throw UNC in there. I don't think I'd throw them in on the football side. Maybe. I don't know. But basketball, I think like a preseason regional round ball tournament, and you get out a little trophy, round robin kind of thing. I know it's three, but do something. That would be cool. I think growing within your state is the first thing you got to do, is make everybody just part of what we do with this show. Like, I got Rams fans that will listen to my guy Cody Tucker and say, hey, I don't like the Cowboys at all. In fact, I hate the Cowboys, but having Cody on to talk about Wyoming, hearing what they're up to. And then I got Bears fans that are kind of interested in, you know, what the Rams are up to, or vice versa. And that's kind of how it works. I don't know if many Rams fans really care at all what's going on with the Buffs, to be honest, especially since they don't play each other anymore. But it'd be a lot of work to do this, but cross promotion is such a big thing, and I think it'd be huge. We used to do this thing, this media day. It was called was that the Rocky Mountain Huddle, that where I would go down to Denver, remember, once a year, right before the season started, and you'd get regional. I think even what, am I wrong on this? Maybe Go Pokes would know. Am I wrong on this? Did Wyoming not come down for that? I'm not sure. I know Air Force was there. CSU was there. CU was there. And all of them, UNC. It was awesome. It was at the Blake Street Tavern in Denver. Then it kind of, obviously the Blake Street Tavern sold or shut it down. I don't know if it reopened, but it was kind of sketchy there for a year or two. The last year or two they did it because the owner of the tavern, like, is a Buffs fan and posted something negative about CSU. He called them like CSU, and the assistant AD, like, got really upset by that for CSU. I thought it was a little petty, to be honest, but basically said, well, we're not coming down for the Rocky Mountain, for the Rocky Mountain huddle anymore. So CSU just stopped coming down to it. That might have been around the Adazio time. And then they went back and forth. And I know Kisla, when he was with the Post, was really hammering on that and thought, I didn't care that much one way or the other. I would have just went. If I'm CSU, okay, the owner of the tavern's a Buffs fan, but he's still opening it up. So, and this was like TV stations and radio stations would go. We would go down there. Altitude, our friends at Altitude would go there. I don't think the other ones did because they couldn't get away from Broncos training camp coverage. But it was awesome. It was fun, just that concept. And like Nine News was there. Several local TV stations were there. It was a lot of fun.
And it's good marketing for your school. Because yep. You still want some of those kids from Colorado looking at you instead of looking at another school.
Yeah. All right. Top stories of the day coming up next. Also, keep in mind we'll have Benjamin Albright talking some Broncos with us in the second hour. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one, member FDIC.